Thank you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Stuart Mazzell, and I'm pastor here. It's great to see you all here today. If you wouldn't mind turning in a Bible, whether it's the one that you brought with you or the one in front of you, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 20, as we have the last few weeks, and we will in the next few weeks. So basically, we're taking this passage and breaking it down into smaller portions and talking through what this actually means. Because when we talk about spiritual warfare, there are a lot of crazy ideas about what that might really look like. Some of those ideas are not too far away from the truth, and some of them are so far away from the truth that they're not really even biblical. And so what we're trying to do is take a look at what the scriptures actually say to talk about those things, to talk about God's way of approaching spiritual warfare. And we see that here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. If you are using the Bible that's in front of you, that should be found on page 979. And let me remind you that we don't have to try to figure out God's way by, you know, looking at each other and say, what do you think God thinks? Well, what do you think God thinks? God has told us what He thinks by giving us His Word, and that's what we're preaching from today, is His Word. And so as I read the passage, know that this is the Lord speaking to His people. And here's what our Lord says, starting in verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authority, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for being good to us in giving us your truth. And we don't have to fumble around in the dark trying to figure out what your will is, what the truth is. You've given it to us in your word. And help us to understand your word. By your Spirit, guide us into truth, even this morning. And Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear and hearts that will receive the good news of the gospel of Christ. Help us to see very clearly our need for Jesus and the beauty of who Jesus really is. And Jesus, would you be the one who preaches to us truly today, so that we hear your voice, and as your sheep, we hear your voice and follow you. And this we pray in your name, Jesus, and for your glory along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, our one true God. Amen. So we've been talking a lot about warfare and battle and that sort of thing as we've been talking about spiritual warfare, but I want you to imagine just for a moment that you were going into literal warfare, literal battle. You're in the armed forces of some sort, and you are going out on the field of battle, and your commanding officer says, okay, it's time to suit up. We have this new improved body armor we're going to give you that will help protect you as you're out there. I mean, this is like, you know, some kind of weird new scientific fiber that will just keep the bullets from, you know, getting into you and just bounce right off you. I mean, it's amazing what this body armor will do. And you're sitting there and you're listening to this and you think, you know, that sounds good, but I think I can come up with body armor on my own that will be better than that. And so you tell your commanding officer, thank you, but no thank you. I'm going to come up with my own body armor. Your commanding officer, of course, looks at you like you're crazy. And then you go into another room and you come out and you've wrapped yourself with toilet paper. Now, I don't know much about battle. I don't know much about war, but I can tell you this. You go into the battle, you go on the field of battle where they're shooting at you and bombs are going off everywhere and you're wearing toilet paper as your armor, you're going down. I do know that. And I think you all understand that. And yet, and we're going to come back around to this full circle a little later. That's how we sometimes approach the fight spiritually. Thinking that we can put on our own armor, which is basically the same thing as wrapping toilet paper around us, rather than taking upon ourselves the armor that God gives us. And that's what Ephesians 6 is about. Approaching the battle God's way. Fighting the battle God's way. And so if we're looking at this passage, we see we're to put on the whole armor of God and not just pieces of it. And last week we talked about one specific piece, which is what we call the belt of truth. And this week we're going to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. And we have to remember that all of these pieces have to be put on. Every piece is a specific piece, but it's meant to be seen as a whole, just one piece. But there's something very special, very important for us to understand about this particular piece. So the first thing we need to see as we're approaching this passage, we're talking about going into the battle, going into the fight with the evil one, is to engage in spiritual warfare God's way, we need righteousness. That is what we need. We need righteousness. If we're going to engage the evil one, the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, as we'll talk about in a few minutes, we need to have righteousness. Take a look at what this passage says. So, we talk about being strong in the Lord, putting on the whole armor of God. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against these spiritual forces in this present darkness. And so Paul says, take up the whole armor of God. Put on this whole armor. And part of that armor is, yes, the belt of truth, which we talked about last week, but it's also putting on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Now think about that. What does a breastplate do? It really protects the vital organs that are right up in here in your chest. Your heart, your lungs, all of that good stuff right there that keeps you alive. And that breastplate is a very important part of any armor, whether it's the armor of the Roman soldier or it is the body armor of today's soldiers. You've got to protect this area. And so a breastplate is something vital, something important. You might be able to fight without a belt. You might be able to fight without shoes. You might even be able to fight without a helmet. But that breastplate is very important. Hopefully you get that part. And what Paul says in this passage is that the breastplate is a breastplate of righteousness. Now maybe you're thinking, well, okay, what is righteousness? Real simply, it's what's right. It's what's good. It's what adheres to the standard of God's character. That's what really righteousness is. in a nutshell. And Paul's saying, hey, if you're going to go out into the battle, you need righteousness. You can't go out there just thinking, I don't have any righteousness at all and I can survive this battle. No, there's got to be righteousness. And you might be saying, well, Stuart, why is it that we need righteousness? Well, here's basically the answer. Without righteousness, we fall prey to the accusations of the evil one. Without righteousness, we fall prey to the accusations of the evil one. You know the name Satan means accuser, adversary. The scriptures demonstrate that this is what his character is like. In Zechariah chapter 3, it is Satan standing at the right hand of Joshua to accuse him. In Revelation chapter 12, it talks about how salvation is when the evil one, when Satan has been thrown down, the one who accuses the brothers day and night. If you're a Christian, and you've been a Christian for any length of time, you heard the accusation of the evil one. God couldn't love someone like you. You're too far gone. You couldn't possibly be any good to God. Look at how messed up your life is. You call yourself a Christian? Ha! You're a hypocrite. You say one thing and you do another. You couldn't possibly be a real Christian. Anybody ever heard anything that sounds anything like that? I know I have. And mine has a special, special breed of accusation. How dare you think you should be a pastor? How dare you stand up in front of people and try to tell them about God? Stuart, you are worthless. And your life shows it. That's what gets whispered in my ear. So you see the need for righteousness? If the evil one knows where the chink in your armor is, if he knows where he can get at you by throwing accusations your way, you got to have righteousness and be able to combat that. You got to have what's right. You got to have what's good. And at this age, you might be thinking, okay, well, just got to pick myself up by my bootstraps and I've got to be a better person in order to fight Satan. Yeah, about that. When we're going up against the accusations of Satan, we need righteousness. The problem we have is none of us are righteous enough. None of us are righteous enough. Do you know that the scriptures actually say, Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Did you know that in Isaiah 64, 6, God actually compares our righteous deeds like a polluted garment, like filthy rags? Did you know that in Ecclesiastes 7, 20, The author says, there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. I mean, all of us are in this boat. The boat of not righteous enough. And even when you start thinking about the quote-unquote righteous people throughout Scripture, you see very quickly that it's a mixed bag. Sure, they did some good things, but think about Noah. Noah was a righteous man on the earth. The Scriptures actually use that word in light of who he was in that culture, in that society, in that time. And yet, what does Noah do? He gets drunk. And he gets naked and lays around in his tent. Gets seen by his son. What about Abraham? Abraham, he was a righteous dude, right? Good guy. Follower of the faith. Lied. Told the in Egypt, I can't think of his name right off the top of my head. That's bad for a pastor. He told the guy in Egypt, hey, this is my sister, not my wife. After the sermon, it'll come to me when it's too late. Moses, great guy, really righteous. Couldn't enter the promised land because he lost his temper and hit the rock with us with his staff instead of speaking to it like the Lord said. And then there's David, man after God's own heart, right? Committed murder and adultery. And then you start to say, well, Stuart, that's all Old Testament saints. We're New Testament saints. We're in a better position. And yeah, in a sense we are, in a sense. But you know, it's Paul the Apostle who says, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, I keep on doing. Oh, does anybody relate to that? And then there's 1 Timothy, one of the last books that Paul writes. And there's this startling statement that he says. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief, the first. I am, not was. I am the worst. Paul understood just how deep his sin went. One of the issues in the church is we don't really recognize just how deep our sin goes. We like to think that we're a lot better than we are. I do it. I like to think I'm a good guy. I'm A section. You know, no B morality for me. Not a C morality. Definitely not F. I'm in the A section, baby. And then God starts to show me some glimpses of what's really going on down in my heart. Oh, okay. Maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. And I'm going out against the evil one and I'm wrapping myself up in toilet paper, thinking that I'm good enough. That that all sounds like bad news. It really does. It sounds like a bummer. Like, come on, Stuart. Get with the program. You know, the biggest churches, they tell you how good you are. They tell you what kind of, that you can do it. All you have to do is put your mind to it. That's what builds a big church, Stuart. Why are you bumming us out with this bad news of we're worse than we think we are? Well, first of all, it's the truth. It's the truth. And second of all, you can't realize how good the good news is until you've seen how bad the bad news is. And the good news is that Jesus is your righteousness. Amen. That is the good news. Jesus is your righteousness. Not your toilet paper righteousness that you wrap yourself up in and you think you're protected. No, I'm talking about real, actual goodness from God, because He is the righteous one. 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us that because of God, we are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness. For our sake, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Paul even says, this is Paul the Apostle, in Philippians 3, he says, look, I count everything, even the good stuff that I do, I count it as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them rubbish. They are dung. They are trash compared to knowing Jesus, because I want to gain Christ. I want to be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from God and is through faith. I think that rubs us the wrong way. Because we want our righteousness to count for something. I would even say there's a sense in which we're hardwired for that. And we're certainly taught you don't get anything for free in this life. You got to earn it. And what might be good in a job situation, applying that to our relationship with God, it's not all that great. It almost sounds heretical to say, I don't want a righteousness of my own. And yet, that's exactly what Paul said. I don't want a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. I want the righteousness that comes through faith, that's found in Jesus. Jesus is my righteousness. Now, think about that. You go into battle, you're facing the enemy, and he starts throwing those accusations against you. He says, you know what? You're worthless. And you say, yeah, maybe I am. But I'm clothed in Jesus, and He's worth a lot. You're a hypocrite. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I say certain things and I do the exact opposite. You're right. But Jesus is not a hypocrite. And I'm wrapped up in Him. You can't be any good to God. Look at your life. Look at the mess that you are. I am a mess. You're right. Thank God Jesus isn't a mess. And my life is found in Him. In fact, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives. In me, for me, through me. I said this quote last week, but it bears repeating. Martin Luther, he said, "When the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, you tell him this, 'I admit it. I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know the one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and where He is, I shall be also.'" That is some good news, folks. I mean, whose righteousness do you really want to go into battle? Your toilet paper righteousness that's going to get ripped to shreds, or the body armor of Jesus, wrapped up 33 years of perfect obedience to His Father. Not one sinful thought, not one sinful word, not one sinful action. You tell me, how do you want to face the accusations of the evil one? Wrapped up in your goodness or in the goodness of Jesus? For me, it's a no-brainer. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. And I know, the temptation is for us, again, to say, "But Stuart, aren't we supposed to be righteous? Aren't we supposed to, like, you know, be good people?" Sure. Yeah, okay. You're supposed to, you know, try to do the right things and be a good person, whatever that is. Sure, okay, fine. How well are you doing with that? You see, this is why this passage is here. This is why this passage is here. This is why God knows that we need protection when it comes to the accusations of the evil one, because no matter how good you try to be, you're always going to fall short. We never measure up to Jesus. But the gift of God is Jesus in my place. Not just His death to forgive us of our sins, but also His life. Sometimes we talk about this as being imputed to us, credited to our account, so that what is of Jesus is now being credited to us. And you know what? It doesn't seem fair. In a way, it doesn't even seem right. How can what Jesus has done be credited to me? It's called grace. And don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I mean, God has given us this beautiful gift in His Son. Why would we want to try to put on the breastplate of self-righteousness? And that's what we try. I'm going to be good enough this time, God. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be good. And just as soon as you mess up, here come the accusations flying at you, and it takes you down. How do I know this? I've been there. I've done that a million times. No, it's not the breastplate of my righteousness. It's not the breastplate of self-righteousness. It's the breastplate of righteousness. And it's from God's armor. We talked about this from Isaiah chapter 59 a few weeks ago. This is God's armor, not mine. He's basically giving it to us and saying, here, let this be your protection from the evil one. And I want to tell you, now maybe you're thinking, well, Stuart, okay, well, so how do I handle? Okay, so I got Jesus. I'm putting on Jesus as a robe, putting on Jesus as this body armor, as this breastplate. That's great. Okay, but what about actually growing in righteousness? I mean, you know, about like becoming more and more like Jesus, because that is the trajectory of our salvation, is it not? That God wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son? This is so good. Because we are found in Him, we can rest secure in the messy process of growth in righteousness. This is what is so good. Not only have we been clothed in the righteousness of Christ, but because we are found in Jesus, we can rest secure in the messy process of growth in righteousness, because it is messy. Does God want us to grow in righteousness? Of course He does. Of course He does. He wants us to be like Jesus. Yes, of course. But what we call sanctification, that growth in doing good things and being a good person, that's messy. It's really messy. I mean, how many of you feel like you're taking two steps forward in, you know, doing whatever it is you feel like you're supposed to do before God, and then you take three steps back? And what happens? The accusations fly. See, I told you you're not a real Christian. See, I told you you can't do this salvation thing. You're not following Jesus. You're just faking it. But if you say, wait a second, because I'm clothed in Jesus, because I'm hidden in Him, I'm free. I'm free. Sin no longer has final penalty for me. I'm free. And I can pursue this thing we call sanctification with all my heart, because I know I can't fail in the end, because God has already given me Jesus. And if He's given me Jesus, there's nothing else to give. He's my everything, my righteousness and my sanctification, my justification, my glorification. He's my everything. And I can pursue salvation, sanctification, growth in righteousness, and when I mess up, I can say, Jesus has covered that. And I can get up, and I can move forward. Makes you uncomfortable, doesn't it? Come on, you can be honest. Makes you a little uncomfortable. Stuart, come on now. If you start talking that way, there are going to be people who are going to hear that and they're going to go, well, if that's the case, I'm just going to go and sin like it's no tomorrow and do whatever I want, because, hey, right? Don't tell me that didn't cross your mind. Okay, maybe you're more sanctified than I am. If it didn't cross your mind, it crossed mine. See, you're missing the whole point of what grace really is, if you think that way. And even if you think that way, if God has a hold of you, you're not going to think that way long. He might put you through the ringer in order for you to get to the right place. But you won't think that way long. Now, grace is what it is. It's grace. Unmerited favor. And this is what God has given us in giving us Jesus, in giving us this whole armor, and by giving us righteousness that is just as much ours because Jesus is ours. And we belong to Him. It is not a straight line from the ground to glory. And I know we got some perfectionists in the room. And I know that's what you want. I want it too. That straight line. You know, I believe in Jesus, and now it's a straight line up to glory, and I'm leaving my sins behind, and done with that one. I don't have to worry about that sin anymore. Done with that one. Don't have to worry about that anymore. And, you know, and then one day, I arrive in all my glory. Do you hear what I just did? Do you hear what I just did? It's not about God anymore. It's about me. Wearing the breastplate of righteousness is what is important for us in order to be able to grow in real righteousness, lived out righteousness. And if you try to live out your faith, if you try to be righteous apart from holding fast to that breastplate of righteousness, you're either going to fall flat on your face because the evil one is going to accuse you in places where you wouldn't even believe that he could find you, or you're going to end up a Pharisee. And you're going to think, look how great I am. Look how good I am. God takes a little bit of the credit, but most of the credit belongs to me. I don't know what to do without me. But the breastplate of righteousness, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness, protects us from that too. It doesn't just protect us from the accusations of the evil one. It protects us from being too big for our britches, as my mom used to say. Thinking that we're better than we really are. And we can safely say, yeah, I'm with Paul. I'm worse than I think I am. But Jesus is better than I ever imagined. And I'm wearing Him as a cloak. I'm hidden in Him. It's His life, not mine. And throw your worst at me, life. Because I got Jesus. That's what really matters. So folks, by faith, let's put on the Lord Jesus. Let's put Him on. And know the security of God's love for us in Him. Let me pray for us. Father, thank You so much for this gift of righteousness. Thank You for Jesus, that He is my righteousness, that He is our righteousness. And if there's anyone here today that does not believe that, and still thinks that they can hold on to their own righteousness, would You, by Your Spirit, change their hearts and minds? so that they will see we contribute nothing to the salvation given to us other than our need to be saved. And so we long for this righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. Clothe us in that righteousness, that we can walk out of here and face the battle with this full body armor, knowing that nothing, nothing in all creation can harm us or separate us from this love that you've given to us in Jesus. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.